Log Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are grateful for another day, thanking God for the day of being here. I want to thank our sponsors tonight, Christina Pollock of Marich, New York, Darlene Cox Owens, CEO of Lights Entertainment and Lights in the City Entertainment Productions in Brooklyn, New York, and Elaine Nieves of Manhattan, New York, the Lower East Side, who's also a part of our team here. So I want to thank you, ladies, for sponsoring us tonight yourselves. We are in the middle of Wellness Wednesday, everybody. We have been touching on each month, each week, we are touching on a chronic illness, permanent illness, terminal illness, or even temporary illnesses that cause other issues and how they are affected by not just the illness itself, but society's ignorance to the affliction and political interference with our health care coverage out there. So today we are speaking on the heart disease gauntlet. Sorry about that, guys. I'm getting a little off in the throat from yesterday's segment. We're speaking today on the heart disease gauntlet. The reason why is because of many things, of the many illnesses that are out there. Heart disease is not just one thing. There are so many aspects and different facets and different subsections and different types of heart disease. And one has a name and one has another function. They're all kind of related to, they're all related to the heart, but different things and different effects come from it. Some of these things range from just being something you have to watch out for that could be a problem later in the future to some things that can lead right to death, that you must be careful at all single minutes of your life to and how you act, or this can trigger death. So with that being said, we're going to speak tonight on, as we've been doing in uniform this past 3 weeks, we're going to be speaking on how that affects us spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, how our people around us interact with us, some of them with a lot of ignorance of not understanding exactly what's going on with you, and then definitely how the stress of the healthcare coverage situation affects us. So with that being said, today is the heart disease gauntlet. We're going to go out with a little bit of a rebroadcast song, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back right after this. So don't go away. Here's Adele with Send My Love. Be back in just a bit.
I was too strong. You were about New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Today is Wellness Wednesday, and we're going to be speaking on tonight's illness of the week is heart disease. And tonight's episode is entitled The Heart Disease Gauntlet, because those of you who know what a gauntlet is, it's a series of swinging blades that you have to get through or obstacles that you have to get through without hitting the next obstacle and having some other damage happen to you while you're on your way out to the exit or trying to get to the other side. And I named it this because heart disease is just that. It's a gauntlet of different types of things that affect your heart and your pumping system to your blood. And a lot of things that seems to happen at this moment is that people who don't suffer with this issue try to do things like figure out what they see on TV and deal with you that way, or they try to Google something or Wikipedia something and come up with some, you know, Google diagnosis, and then they feel that either they give you the most extreme panic situation, or they'll turn around and they'll give you what they feel based on the Cliff Notes version they got from Googling your disease, what type of advice they should give you. Some people are flat out frustrated with your situation, so they deal with it on their comfort level, not yours. And then we have other situations going on that make the stress of the disease seem like mincemeat compared to what the stress of that particular situation does. So let's get started with a couple of things. Now, those of you who know or who have been following this show, and many of you have been around since we started in 2013, you've kind of been keeping up to date with my life, because many of the topics that I choose to talk about are things I've either experienced personally, my friends have, family has, things I've witnessed in my neighborhood, things in the news, and we speak about it from the side that the surveys and the data analytic data, I should say, doesn't speak of. You know, these data surveys, they're not realistic to people like us. So with that being said, you've been following me since about last year or a little bit before the year before last. I started to deal with some health issues, and they all sort of poured down on me last May. And I have three heart conditions, along with some rheumatoid situations that's all hitting me at one time, which when it all hit at one time, it took a big chunk of me emotionally, mentally, spiritually as well, because it was hard to transition from someone who's Supermom and Supergirl and the lady with the cape and everybody can put your burdens on my back, and no matter what I'm going through, I got a piece for you too. And suddenly now I have to ask people to, you know, help pick up a package for me or help me tie my shoes, or I need someone to be here to make sure that I have pills taken. And it was just a little too much. But let's speak about the actual medical aspect first. I'll start with mine, with what's going on with me, so that I can really tell you to get an idea of what it is that happens to the body before we even get to the other part. I have left bundle branch block, congestive heart failure, and dilated cardiomyopathy. Left bundle branch block is where your heart is a pumping system and it deals with electricity. Your heart makes electricity. Now, the left side of your heart works harder than the right side, or works the most, because it has more work to do. The right part of your heart doesn't have as much to do, because the left part of your heart actually delivers all of the blood that it takes in to your entire body. So if the left side of your heart is affected, they tend to be a lot quicker with the red alerts, because most of your body will be affected based on what's happening with the left side of your heart. So left bundle branch blocks is when they take this EKG, the little quick test that you sit down and they put all those things on you, and it's 2 seconds long, and then, you know, they find out so many things, shows that your heart is not receiving or pumping the electricity that it's supposed to. So as a result, your right heart activates a lot quicker. The right side of your heart activates quicker than your left side does. Now, that's usually underlying condition due to something else that's going on, which over this last year, I came to get congestive heart failure and dilated cardiomyopathy. Now, there are two types of cardiomyopathy. One is a lot more dangerous than the other, but the one that I have is just as dangerous. So let's start with what congestive heart failure does. Congestive heart failure, it affects the pumping action of your heart to deliver blood throughout your body, and that pumping action system is actually weakened, less powerful. As a result of the weakening of that with congestive heart failure, your blood doesn't move efficiently throughout the circulatory system, and it begins to back up. This increases blood pressure, the pressure in your blood vessels, and it forces fluid into your body tissues. Now, try to think about what that is without it being this big medical thing. Just think about tissue, blood vessels. Fluid, which is supposed to go through one thing, is actually backing up into your body tissue, which a lot of times you might see a lot of people who deal with congestive heart failure and the meds that come with it looking a little more bloated than the average person, because that's exactly what's happening to them. Okay? The left side of your heart, as I've explained before, is larger and works the larger workhorse of it, because it pumps blood to the whole body. So when that starts to fail, fluid collects into your lungs. Now, people with heart failure, and I am definitely a big time testimony to this, cannot breathe. Fluid is backing up into the parts of your lungs where you're supposed to breathe, or it's collecting around your heart, which was in the case what happened to me last November and kept me in the hospital for 9 days. I also, the previous years, had to deal with the other half of things, that the right side, actually, when it starts failing, it actually collects fluid in your feet and in your lower legs. So I actually dealt with that in 2011. It got so bad that my heart actually leaked a little bit of what they call the heart attack enzyme called, let me get this right, ladies and gentlemen. I know my friend listening who's been trying to get me to say this correctly, troponine. All right, Jason, if I got that right, let me know. Thank you. Okay. Troponine is an enzyme that leaks when the heart is having a heart attack. And my legs swole up so badly that it actually prevented the heart from pumping properly, and I leaked a little bit of troponine. in 2011. 2015, something else happened. In 2014, the same thing. It was like a repeat almost like every 2 or 3 years that was happening. So finally in 2016, all of that came together. Didn't help that I was a smoker as well. Now, I never did anything else, ladies and gentlemen. It was coffee and cigarettes. That was it. Coffee, because I'm a workaholic. I'm constantly doing something, constantly creating something. And I needed a cup of coffee and my cigarettes, and that's the way it was. Cup of coffee and the cigarettes. No drugs, no alcohol, none of that stuff. Cigarettes are just as bad and just as deadly, and if you have heart failure, it is a vicious, dangerous beast. So that didn't help. And in 2016, while trying to apply for disability and being evaluated by the disability doctors, they had to call the ambulance to take me out because my blood pressure shot up so bad. I was having chest pain. I was getting very dizzy, lightheaded. I could not breathe. Even now, just walking a couple of steps or bending down to pick up my shoes or coming back up, sometimes just talking a little too loud and getting upset with my children or something like that, it literally takes away your ability to breathe when you have heart failure, the worst feeling in the world. If any of you can imagine being underwater for a second where the water is up in your nose and in your mouth and, you know, you don't have a way to breathe it out, and that feeling of panic that you get for that few minutes, that's what people with heart failure deal with all the time. Not to even mention all of the other aspects of heart disease that happens. Atrial fibrillation, people that have hypertrophic dilated, cardiomyopathy, where it's more dangerous even. Dilated cardiomyopathy also prevents the blood from pumping outward. So, you know, part of what happens with dilated cardiomyopathy, let me get this right, is that your heart's main pumping chamber and the ventricles, which is your lower chambers of your heart, and atria, which are the higher, are affected. The heart's main pumping chamber, the heart's muscles dilate. It actually becomes thinner, which enlarges your heart on the inside of the chamber, which causes things to spread to the right ventricle and then to the atria. This prevents the heart muscle from contracting normally, and it cannot pump blood properly. So blood is either staying in a spot that it's not supposed to be in, or not circulating quickly or fast enough in the other direction. Now, let's talk about what the symptoms of this is. Shortness of breath, chest pain, fatigue, fainting, lightheadedness. These are just the symptoms that you get, or the things that you deal with. That's what is listed in the eMedicine.com and Wikipedia, the American Heart Association. Now, let's talk about it from the people who's actually suffering with it. There's a whole lot more to these possible bullet points that they put out there. You can't breathe. You get numbness in your arm sometimes that you know is they say comes with a heart attack, and then you have to be told all the time. The minute you feel it, go to the hospital. You don't have time to get up every single day and just every little pain you get, go to the hospital. But people with heart failure can't take any damn chances. So this is what we have to do. People with heart disease can't take any chances. So a lot of times people are like, oh, my God, you went back to the hospital again and nothing was wrong. We have to always live on the rule of being safe than sorry. And these ignorant comments that are coming, I say ignorant because there are people who say it for lack of knowledge, but that does not excuse or blend in with stupidity. Stupidity are people who know that this is something that's hard and are just frustrated with it and say mean things anyway. That is stupidity. You don't have to deal with a person that makes you uncomfortable. You don't have to deal with a situation that makes you uncomfortable. And if you are in a situation such as a workplace or a hospital or something to that effect where you can't avoid having a connection with this person, then by all means, do the right thing and step over and don't deal with them. Because if you don't have anything good to say or any good questions to ask, then you might as well keep your mouth shut. Because we have to already deal with not just the physical restrictions. We have to worry about, okay, most of you can say, oh, we need to drink 8 glasses of water a day. For a person with congestive heart failure, that's a death sentence. Drinking too much water will make the liquid in our bodies, in our around our heart, stay in our heart and our lungs, and we will not be able to have this pumping situation get any better. We don't get to go and do that big pump workout fitness. We have to consult with our cardiologist for everything we would like to do for ourselves. Because the heart doctor is the boss of everything. No procedure can be done until you are cleared by your cardiologist. Some of them can be the simplest of things, but you are not able to go and get it done without your cardiologist saying, yes, sir, no, sir. But when you have people who don't understand what that's like, and I see you, caller, I'm going to bring you in just a minute. When you have people not understanding what that's like and are either too uncomfortable to know how to deal with you, because especially if it's someone that's been around you for the longest and you've been, in their mind, a tough cookie, to see you kind of frail or have to watch where you're going. I also now walk with the cane, and that just sort of happened out of the blue. So it was hard on my children. It was hard on people who know me because I'm Miss Kickboxer. You know, I'm like the person that goes up there, and I kickbox life, not really the sport, people. I'm not that good, but, you know, I'm speaking about going up there, and I can kick life in the guts. And for people who know me to do this, to see me not being able to be around strangers because I don't feel as confident or as tough anymore, I'm afraid that, you know, if someone's in the elevator with me, what if they decide to get funny? Could I run? Could I fight back the same way? Am I this way? You know, that took a while. These are things that you go through that's above and beyond the pain you feel. Every time you get a chest pain, you, oh, my God, is this that moment? Your doctor, some of your doctors are, no, you can actually do that. No, this won't stop you from doing that. That's what you say. But when we go out there and we do it and we're feeling this pain, we're too afraid that the next step we take is going to be our last one. So now we are fighting every day to learn how to live with a disability instead of being disabled by it. That's a process. Because everybody who knows of a heart attack knows it's over, it's done. Or people who actually survive them and are at risk all the time of having another one. And then for people who have to have their chest open to put something in it, such as a pacemaker or some stents, and then get their chest closed back up, we're constantly thinking about that. Thankfully, I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I was on the list of let's go get tested to see if that's what you need, and I'm still not out of the woods. Then you have to worry about your blood pressure going up because your blood pressure is part of your heart system, is part of the pulmonary system, is part of your brain. Then you have to worry about, okay, I've got to count to 10 before I deal with this the same way. And counting to 10 doesn't always work. And people outside who don't know you and you're on the bus and do something ridiculously dumb and you get ridiculously upset, they don't understand that they just put you in a position of hurting yourself or risking yourself. So you have to deal with all of this stuff. Then you have to deal with the fact that you feel less than you used to be. You feel like you're a burden to everybody who wants to help you. If you ask someone for help and they don't get up and help you quickly enough, you start to get offended. And that's something you got to deal with. And they do too. So we're going from what the physical restrictions are, meaning, you know, some of us deal with stuff that is not even supposed to be bothered with heart disease. It's supposed to go with something else. But if you have the heart disease, but you don't have the other disease, obviously those symptoms are coming from whatever's going on with you in your heart. So there's days that you get up, you're lightheaded. There's days you can bend over and get back up, you can't breathe. There's times that you walk the street. And, you know, what with me, this is what it felt like before I had the 17,000 medicines I have to take a day. Walking from my house to my neighbor's house, three doors down, okay, or even to the corner, a short block, it was like a slow drain that's clogged up in your sink. And for those of you who ever had a drain clog, you know exactly what I mean. When I say it's one of those clogs that It's not going down. It's not totally still. Like, it's not totally fogged, but it's taking its time to go down. When you start plunging, it looks like all that water is going to come up and overflow, but it actually goes down very slowly. Well, that's what I was going through. Every time I started to walk and did about 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6 steps, I started feeling like the drain is coming up to the point where if I kept walking, it kept filling up faster and faster till I couldn't breathe. I had to literally stop from here to 4 doors down 4 to 5 times for 10 minutes apiece just to get my breathing back in order so I could feel my heart beating again and I can feel my lungs again. And not to mention the pain that shot down my leg and all the swelling of my legs just walking. And it wasn't just, I choreographed in my life. I danced my whole life. I was always active. There was never an issue. I was working at a sports arena just until last year, going back and forth with the New York Knicks and all the people that were around there. So this wasn't a person who's just inactive. This was someone who can go anywhere, anytime, and will walk and do it. Walking became hell. My legs swole up to beyond belief. The bottom of my feet were burning and blistered. No matter what amount of padding I was putting in there, because all of this swelling was hitting. So while my left bundle branch block was affecting the left part of my heart, my right side was collecting that edema down in the bottom of my feet. And everything started to hurt from there. And not being able to breathe was a panic attack. And your hands are swelling, and everything about you is not what it used to be anymore. And no one's giving you any answers until you go to this cardiologist, and bingo, your heart's on the screen. And now all these little lines you used to see before actually mean something, and now you need to know what the hell that means. And not to mention, oh, Lord, like I've been a person who never really ate fried foods. I don't cook with oil. I cook with sprays. I don't really eat a lot of crazy type of my dad is Southern, my mom is Latina, so I don't really get into all the deep any animal part meals that they have. So I wanted to avoid being my aunt and my aunt Luella and my aunt, my grandmother and my uncle. I didn't want to be that person that had to count on taking pills every day to survive. And guess where I'm at? I'm not taking just pills. I have a pharmacy of pills that I have to walk with to the point where I'm angry with them all the time. I can't. And then after I take it, I go, okay, well, at least now I could live a little bit longer. But when I don't, I can't stand it. I hate the taste. I hate the fact that I'm bound by some schedule to take them at all times. I hate the fact that sometimes I panic because I don't remember if I took the right ones at the right time. And when did that happen to me? So I'm sharing all this with you because I know many of you are out there who are dealing with people who have heart disease. You don't exactly know how to deal with them, or you feel like they're getting on your damn nerves and you need to be away from them. But okay, if you really can't stand it and you don't really want to get to the bottom of it, walk away and don't make it worse for them. But I will tell you this. This is what we're going through too. We don't want to ask you. We don't want a damn doctor telling us that, you know what, we can't go get a dental procedure unless we find out what type it is and if it's stressful and what kind of medicines they need to give us. Absolutely not. Let me take this caller in really quick. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie. How are you?
Hi, Lady Elaine. Thank you. And thank you for sponsoring tonight. I want to thank you for that. You know what we've been talking about. You deal with a specific chronic disease as well, which is diabetes. So you know basically what I'm talking about with the ignorance in the people around us. Some of the dumb comments people make because they really think that they're either doing something good or they really want to get you out the hair. So I know that you don't have much time tonight. So I would like for you to share what it is that you can fill in on this. Heart disease is on the table.
Yeah, heart disease. Heart disease, which we all know and which we all, you know, put a blind eye on, it runs really strongly, not only heart disease, but high blood pressure and diabetes. It runs through the Latino and the black families, all. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
You don't see anything much about Caucasian or anything like that, but you do see it strongly within us, and we have to start taking care of ourselves. I take blood pressure medicine, and I've been taking blood pressure medicine for a very, very long time already. I don't want to, but I have to. You know, I have no choice. Before, I didn't have a choice. I was drinking some teas, and that was helping me bring my blood pressure down. It was helping me a lot. Then all of a sudden, the place where I used to get my teas from to help me with my blood pressure is no longer around. But it didn't help me. So now I'm back on the pills, which I really hate. I love tea, but I hate taking pills, you know?
Right, exactly.
When I was pregnant with my daughter, so I was pregnant with Athena, they had to induce my labor because I was suffering from preeclampsia. And preeclampsia, that it happened because my blood pressure was so high. That's when the placenta detached from the uterus, and that was it. It was a done deal on that one. So then I had no choice but to deliver my daughter ahead of time. She came in a month early, but I had to deliver her ahead of time. Imagine, I'm laying down in the room waiting for them to induce my labor. And when they check my blood pressure, every time it's 200 over 188.
Oh, my God.
How? You know?
Oh, my God. I was taking
my blood pressure meds, too, at that time. Then my blood pressure went back to normal after that. But then just 2 years ago, I started back again on the lisinopril, which is my blood pressure medicine. My blood pressure has always been 140 over 78. According to them, it's really, really high. I don't think it is. I think that's normal, but, you know, to them, it's really, really high. So I'm stuck with taking blood pressure pills. I don't eat a lot of greasy foods. Katie, you see me cook. You see what you ate.
And you've been with me as well, so you know. You know very hard how hard that is. And you, one of the things that you're speaking on with the preeclampsia, a lot of times people don't understand, too, that having a baby also can create illnesses you never had before. I didn't get asthma until 1996 when I was pregnant with my daughter. And then it is in my family, but I never had it. And I got pregnant with my daughter and I got prenatal asthma and then it actually stayed with me. Then this whole thing, the lisinopril, the other issue, by the way, listeners, with heart disease is a lot of times too, these medicines they give you is hit or miss, because if you have, for example, the asthma is also a complication to the heart disease treatment, because my previous cardiologist, needless to say, he is no longer, and I did say previous, he prescribed two medicines, which for the life of me, and I was on it for 4 months. For the life of me, I could not understand how you could miss the fact that the very first two things that the manufacturers of this medicine said was a big flag and not to prescribe it to was people with asthma and heart failure, both of which I had. So, yeah, it's there to treat the blood pressure, but there was heart failure in place as well as asthma. So you prescribed this to me without looking at contraindications. So when a lot of you that are out there that don't understand what we're going through, or you're aggravated, we're going through things where people are literally got their life in your hand, your life in their hands. Okay?
Yep.
Your life in their hands, and you don't really know the ins and outs of this medical stuff, and you've got to trust that they wouldn't dare try to kill you or hurt you, and that they know what the hell they're doing. Considering that, you know, the law says you can't be a doctor till you go through, I don't know, 8,000 years of college. Okay? And do a whole bunch of intern hours. So you're counting on these people to be the next thing to God.
Yep.
And when they fail, they actually are protected and can lie and say, like to say. Because one of the things that this doctor tried to do when I explained to him, well, first of all, let me not put the man on blast.
No.
But then again, Well, I don't know if somebody else has seen him. Well, first of all, I think he's way past his prime to be. He's way past his prime to still be in the business. He should have retired years ago. Okay.
He's probably related to my mother's doctor. Wait. Okay. My mother was taking blood pressure medicine for a long time already. She keeps on upping the dose on her blood pressure medicine, in which what happens? She's getting sick. Not only does she have to take blood pressure medicine, she has to take water pills. Now, you know how water pills are. If you don't take water pills,
yes, I do.
Yeah, see? If you don't take water pills, what happens?
Yeah, but they don't work. And that's the thing that gets me. Like, they're saying that these water pills are supposed to bring down the water, take water out of your body. I don't see it so much happening. I'm still getting swollen lips. I'm still getting shortness of breath. I'm peeing like a banshee, but I'm not seeing the effects of excess water coming out. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes with just that aspect. Now, I do want to get to the point, like we spoke of, about ignorant people saying ignorant things. Many people are afraid of anything that deals with the heart, the same way the patient is. So being around you, if it's not like your close family, and even they do things sometimes, people don't know what to say to you. They just don't.
Nope.
And they come out, and instead of saying nothing or saying, I really don't know what to say in this. I'm here for you, but I really don't know what to say. They'll say something that makes sense in their mind that comes out totally like French to you, you know? And then there are people who really, you make them uncomfortable. So they want you out the way. And some people don't know how to curb their frustration, so it comes out straight as day. And they appear rude, or they are being rude. Some people just pretty much think, since it ain't happening to me, it must be bullshit. You know what I mean? So it must be bull. So they're not going to go through believing what you have to say. Then we have the, let's go over to, you know, the other ones that are in the employment world. Like, they have a bottom line. They have to run a corporation, a bottom line money income. If you're there and you have this situation going on, and the Lord is telling you you can't work, but you're in work every day, having some unexpected attack, some unexpected shortness of breath, you're lightheaded, you collapse, you're being told by your doctor, listen, when you get any type of pain, you got to leave and go to the doctor. Don't play around with it. But you can't leave off your job. So, job, then you can't rightfully do your work, and you are at risk, and no matter where you go, of being at a point where you can hurt yourself and you'll wind up hurting your company. Because if you're in a position that they count on you to do a certain thing and get a certain thing happening, then you're supposed to be able to do it. And a healthy person could. Person with heart disease, person with fibromyalgia, person, you know, that has something that can cause them to have a seizure, to burst out something that they're not expecting to burst out, to react in a way where something unexpected happened, burning sensations down my arm, and sometimes I can't feel anything down my arm while I'm getting some chest pain. Sometimes I have thudding chest pains that are there that I could feel is trying to squeeze, but it's not so extreme. So I think maybe if it gets any worse, but my doctor is no. You go when you feel it, not when it gets any worse. But who's going to do that? I mean, I'm stubborn.
No, you're not.
Completely hate. I'm stubborn. I will not. If I feel like I can handle it, and I know I have to change my mindset on that. But if I feel like I can handle it, I will not go unless it's. But my doctor explained to me that in heart, if it gets to being made too late. But I still have a hard time bringing myself to the doctor for everything. And this is what we go through, ladies and gentlemen, when you think that we're just having it easy. It's not. It's hard to look at you. You can't eat what you used to eat more. Start reading every little now because you can't have this much sodium and you can't have that type of salt and you can't have this. Oh, wait a minute, that doesn't have salt, but this has this. You got to watch. I mean, you know, that's hell. That you don't jump up too high, because if you jump up too high, you know, and then people don't understand that could be a lot stronger than they think you are. So they start treating you like you're fragile China. no, come up this way. And you're looking at them like, did you get off? Like, and I tell you what I can't do. Really hard to that. Now, let's go over, because in this segment, there's one even bigger than all of that that becomes a more critical factor in this. And although we're a little bit early into our, we're still in our first half of the segment, I really wanted to take much time laughing. That means a big thing, because you mentioned earlier the Latino company, the Latino community, and the American community are most affected by heart disease and high blood and all that stuff. All right, partially because the foods that are offered are not as high standard as the rest of the world, mostly because the thing we can afford to get or that we choose to eat can be a little bit too much for anybody's blood sometimes. But I will say this to you. The health care coverage does not help disease get anywhere. Speaking on those who are with disease that, you know, treatment can help you live with it. I spoke about this, and I will continue to speak about this on every single wellness segment that we have. We might have a break right now from that horrendous Trump care bill that was being proposed into the House that passed on Americans here. The horrendous Trump care situation where he wanted to overtax the elderly, dismiss the sick.
Trump care's a joke.
Yeah. Obliterate mental illness.
Yeah,
get involved in what a woman can do with her body. Single-Aine, I'm sorry.
Trump care doesn't care. I don't know how they call it Trump care if he doesn't care.
Well, that's what obviously caring by Trump means is in this respect. But the thing is that what we're saying is we have a break now where, you know, it was denied to be passed. Ill, especially those with pre-existing conditions or permanent conditions or terminal or even chronic conditions, okay, constantly are at fear every election year, every quarter, every fiscal year. We're constantly worried about when is healthcare on the table again? What are they trying to do with it this time? That is a stress factor within itself. And I do have a problem being in a free democratic city, country, with the people voting system, where someone telling me, well, see what your life is to us. Anaphylactic action, talent. And mental illness, that needs to be covered all the time. There's so many aspects of that as well. There are people that have diseases that are quiet but be lethal. People that are dealing with dementia issues. There are people that are dealing with cognitive issues. Autism. Alzheimer's. Asperger's syndrome. Tourette's syndrome. All of these things are things that affect society on a whole, as well as the individual. Depression. And Lord knows with illnesses that we speak about every week, they may not be straight up depression, but they cause it. Because if it's not a side effect of the millions of medicines that you're getting to treat this one disease or this one issue, okay, you are dealing with chemical possibilities of anxiety induced to make you feel hopeless. And there are things that really look at any of the new medicines. Hey, this is a great in the world, and if you are a fibromyalgia sufferer, good news, we have this, but be careful. You're going to have a crooked, you're going to walk like a flamingo, you're going to have vomiting, you might have bleeding. Oh my God, if you're taking aspirin, consult a doctor. Oh, wait a minute, if you're taking ACE inhibitors, make sure you don't do this, because that will lead to death. Very saying death really loud now. And I try my best to ask a doctor to avoid prescribing me anything that has a depression side effect. I stopped smoking with chant. That was supposed to be like angel sent, you know, solution, because you could smoke for a week before the medicine actually builds up to remove it. It's not that cold turkey thing, and you really can. And all these testimonies, no quality in the beginning of the commercials when it first came out, read that fine really loud. The part that says you'll have suicidal dreams or you feel like committing suicidal, you'll have weird dreams, that started coming later. Okay, and I'm going to tell you, I finally got my chanted. I couldn't wait. This is a few years back. Like, yes, I got chantix for a week, and it's going to be nice and smooth transition, and I can smoke less and less, and I won't have the urge to smoke, and it will be all this. And the first night I took it, I dreamt about the thing I fear the most in shit, about big, giant, mutated rats. I don't know how old of you are that are listening, but if any of you remember that little B-movie flick that was called Gnaw, Food of the Gods, you think about that big white rat that was tip of the other dog who died. It was as huge as the Empire State Building. So anything that gave me dreams like that, I definitely wouldn't continue with. I woke up the next day, I was like, what? No way. Nope. I'd rather smoke. What? And to tell you the truth, people, if for those of you that it works for, you know, like, this is a show that if the shoes don't fit, don't put them on. I really don't campaigns about anti-smoking, and I'm just getting a little bit off heart disease for 1 second. All the air tactics, showing the lady with the deformed fingers, showing the person with the hole in the throat, showing the lady who said, my father died and couldn't be here to see his grandson swing a bat. None of those things actually work to a smoker. It grosses them out for a little bit. It gives us a little bit of, that's a little scary. It makes you think for about 3.5 seconds. And as soon as that urge to smoke hits you again, you're going right back out. Some people is quick to be like that. That'll be all it takes. But the average smoker needs another motivation. It's something personal to them. Mine was, I was in the middle of getting a 7-day treatment for being treated for exacerbated asthma. With my asthma, it was cold. It was freezing in December. And the asthma was above and beyond control. Nothing that they gave me was working. I had to go into the hospital. I had to get the hospital-grade nebulizer as well as some oral steroids as well as they almost had to give me a shot. So I'm sitting here, and I'm going through all of this. It worked a little bit, so I got to leave the hospital with a prescription. While I was in the middle of a prescription, in the middle of it, day 3.5, I had to go back to the hospital for not being able to breathe even further. Thing is, I said I have to quit the smoking because this is not helping. That's what motivated me. I didn't want to die, and that was the whole thing. I didn't want to die when I was feeling death. I was feeling death, not being able to breathe. I was, no, I could not breathe at all. With breathing medications, with steroids, everything, I could not breathe, and I was in the middle of the treatment, which was supposed to be getting better by day 3, and it was getting worse. So I said, that's it. I'm going to remove the smoking from this. Let me tell you, in all reality, it is hell. It is the Detox Rehabilitation Center right there walking around clean as day. But I will tell you this, after that 4th day, I started mentally getting strong. Hey, I thought I couldn't do it. And I'm 4 days clean. So I started using the Alcoholics Anonymous thing, I'm 4 days smoke free. And then my Facebook people started from all over the world that's connected to me, when I posted it, they're like, way to go. I'm 21 days. And it started to be a thing that now I was motivated to stay off of it. I remember when this first 2 weeks happened, I couldn't even stand in a bus stop and not want to smoke. But now people could smoke around me and I'm like, you know what? I'm fine with it. Don't worry about it. You know, like, I'm good. Go ahead, smoke a cigarette. I don't need it. I really don't need it. I'm at that place now. Thank you, God, for that. But heart disease is one of those things that smoking also exacerbates and causes. And these type of things, it's really hard for you to deal with it. Now, dealing with health coverage issues and a bunch of people who outside of the boardroom, they have great cars and great yachts and people know them and they can just go in and get whatever they need at any point in time. If their health care fails them, they could pay for the surgery that they need. Let me tell you something. I have a problem with you sitting there and putting my life in some anonymous barrel on a paper and on a desk, saying to yourselves, amongst yourselves, well, the average American doesn't really need to have this medicine. Cut that one. If they're old, why would they need that anyway? Cut that. That shouldn't even be anything in anybody's right to do. Entresto is the latest supposed to be miracle medicine for people with heart disease. And Entresto needs approval. It needs authorization approval in order for it to be filled at a pharmacy. Not because it's a controlled substance, but because it's too damn expensive and they don't want to charge you. And by the way, they don't have a generic form of it. And by the way, people, generic forms are no less quality than the brand name. So the thing is that they, Entresto, I was supposed to get authorization for Entresto in December. I'm still waiting. My pharmacist is still waiting for that. And I'm dealing with medicines that are not working. I mean, thank you, God. It's keeping me from being at that deliberate point where I couldn't breathe at all. But it's not taking away my shortness of breath. I still can't walk certain distances. I still don't have the feeling of feeling comfortable being in places that I normally could before. I'm not exactly agoraphobic, meaning I'm not afraid of going outside, just that I can't be around strangers. And I can't be in public transportation without having like a private seat to sit in or something. Going to McDonald's, I nearly had a panic attack. You know, it's like these are the type of things that feel that this disease does to you. So now you have these people who are messing with healthcare coverage saying that A, mental illness or mental therapy treatments won't be covered or won't be allowed, but so often that you have to prove you're really going through something. Who the hell are you to say that? And what makes you think that that's going to benefit this country in any way? We are dealing with people who, if they snap and don't have an outlet to guide them into some constructive expression, somebody's going to die. Someone is going to get attacked, violently assaulted, or killed because somebody with an illness wasn't properly treated. And for heart disease, if they take away the proper treatment for heart disease, who the hell you think is going to be the most affected? Did we not just mention them about an hour ago?
Yep.
Heart disease, high blood pressure, pulmonary edema, pulmonary hypertension, COPD. These are all things that deal with the heart. And by the way, everybody, heart and lungs are pretty much hand in hand.
That's right.
Pretty much hand in hand. My cardiologist was telling me, you know what, based on the symptoms you're having, since all the other tests are not coming up to the point of you're going to have a heart attack right now, we need to check into some things with the connection from your heart to your lungs. That little valve that goes from your heart to your lungs, that may be inflamed as well, and that's not a good thing, because if it is, it's going to cause issues on your heart even further, as well as your lungs. Having that pain in your rib, underneath your armpit, going down the side, in your chest, where you don't know what the hell is coming from. Your eyes are rolling back in your head. You're getting a little bit dizzy. You can't see things. Things go blurry. That is not a good feeling. Your whole life is under cardiologist's beck and call. Because you can't go see the dentist if there's a certain medicine that can cause the heart to go bad. You can't go see your eye doctor if they have to give you a certain test that could be. You can't go get any type of cosmetic surgery whatsoever if there's a situation where you have to be put to sleep too long because your heart could go under pressure. You see, this is what I'm saying to you about heart disease. So you want to have people who can get in the limousine anytime they feel like it, who can opt to get that elective $70,000 surgery, who needs health insurance but can afford the big stuff, making a decision of what to take away from us, from me, and I voted you in? I didn't vote this guy in, but I'm speaking more legislation and stuff. But I'm saying, if I'm the one that's giving you the power, or we're giving you the power to work on our behalf, to represent our needs, and you go in and say your needs are not mine, so they don't matter. You're elderly. You're going to die soon anyway. Why do we need to be worrying about what you do? Okay, you want coverage. Guess what? Put all your check up there, every bit of it. Care coverage, as I say in all of these particular segments, is not negotiable. It is not a negotiable factor. It should not be an item that's up for negotiation. That should never be something that is on the budget table discussion. It should never be on there to figure out how you're going to diminish a portion of it. You should not be able to tell a woman that she must have a child because we're not going to pay for an abortion. And if she was raped, oh well, deal with it, have it. Oh, you might say, well, let's you can get into pregnancy before the heart gives out. We have a caller coming in. What'd you say, hon? You're a little distant, so I need you to speak up a bit. Hello? Okay. We have another caller coming in. Let me bring them in. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Kimmy. It's Christina.
Hey, Christina. How are you?
Good.
This is Christina Kwolek, another one of our sponsors for the evening. Thank you very much, Christina. You have, what would you like to say about this?
Yeah, I'm trying not to be defensive, being in the healthcare profession.
Mm-hmm.
With the insurance changes over the years, there's been a lot of stress on care providers, doctors, nurses, to do the best care under the pressure of not really getting financially
compensated.
Benefiting from it. Like, you know, it's just like cut and pay, long hours, understaffed. There's a lot of situations, and I was thinking that I worked in telemetry in the hospital as a CNA. I wasn't an LPN yet. I was a CNA, and I worked on the hot monitors, and I eventually floated to ICU, so I saw the extreme situations of those in telemetry winding up in ICU.
Right.
And the thing that I wanted to say, it's really wonderful to help people, hear people being proactive, because with cancer or with heart disease, the number one killer of it is ignorance. It's not going and getting diagnosed.
Right.
And that's really, you know, with all the medications and all the burden of the problems that you have to deal with the illness, it's good that you're aware that you have it. A lot of people that walk into telemetry or the hospital don't know they even have it. And that's the number one killer, is not knowing. So I just wanted to share that, like, that's like a positive within all the fight of, like, you know, the turmoil of what you go through and how you're not understood. But, you know, the care providers wouldn't go and get certain education and all the years and all the hours and all that we put into it if we didn't care. I know just this week I chose not to go to work because I didn't think I was worn out emotionally and physically and called out. I don't usually call out, but I thought I'm not going to do my best. I'm not going to really take care of that patient the best way I can. And I could have used the money, but it's not about the money. It's about what's the best care I can give.
Right, proper care.
And most doctors and nurses that I meet and that I work with do care. And again, they work long hours, and they've got a lot. I mean, outside of what their family issues are, that with their professional to leave at home and not bring into work with them. That's why I didn't go to work this week, because I wasn't going to bring them into work. So I just wanted to share that. You know, it's just like, you know, I know there's obstacles that the care professions are dealing with, the government and all these issues. I mean, just workman compensation, how doctors are going through what they used to be able to, you know, take as far as patients, and that they can't anymore, can't do workman's comp. There's a lot of issues. You know, Medicaid, doctors can't do physicals and charge Medicaid. They've got to charge the patient a lot of times. So there's a lot of things going on in the medical world that, you know, isn't fair for the professionals. And yeah, if you really look at the overall picture, people are living longer. So science and doctors and the nurses and all the care profession are doing something right because people are living longer. It's not an argument. It's just, you know, I just wanted to kind of put, you know, my feelings as far as being in the field, that there's a lot of people that care.
You're actually supporting what I'm saying with regards to the government in trying to cut health coverage. Nobody should be without it. And I have a problem with the government being able to make that type of intimate decision about our lives. And you know what? I'm speaking from the patient side. You're actually right, because I've seen doctors fight about it. There's things that they want to give so badly that they know will actually help that particular illness. But the problem is that they're bound by whatever cuts or restrictions happen. And I'm only bringing that aspect up because we're speaking on another very critical, chronic or permanent disease. Now, everybody in the medical profession knows heart disease is one of those broad diagnoses that has so many subparts to it, because there's different types of heart conditions. And these are the things that there are certain medicines that need to be treated, that has that they got to treat some other underlying thing in order for that heart thing to be properly absorbing the treatment that you're giving it. So it's, there's so much involved with it. And I have I think that, as I had on a show about three weeks ago, our first or our second Wellness Wednesday segment, where I said is the fights over the health care coverage actually the bigger disease in America over the illnesses. You just spoke about something that makes a lot of sense, that a lot of people are dying because they're ignorant to what they have. Guess what? If they feel like they're not going to be treated because they don't have health insurance, it's going to make them ignorant anyway, because they won't go and they'll deal with whatever they're coughing with or in pain with, unless it's something so debilitating they need relief now. The average person who doesn't have health care won't go see a doctor anyway, because either it's going to cost them too much that they don't have out of their pocket, or they're going to be turned away and they can't deal with that type of rejection and nothing's going to happen anyway. So they won't go, and they won't be able to get that very important and crucial information. There's nothing you said that was confrontational whatsoever. You are actually supporting what I'm saying. Why health care is something I feel government should not put on the table for debate at any point. I really don't think so. I don't think that they should cut the funding for abortion, because too many babies will be in trash bags, or too many kids would be wind up abused and killed. So I don't think that that should be something to say. On the other hand, I do believe that that doesn't give people a free pass to be reckless and unsafe with sex and wind up having babies because they know they can get abortions. You know, or wind up trying not to get pregnant because they know if they get pregnant, there's a quick fix. So, yeah, I think that at that point, that's for the health of our young girls as well. So, yeah, at some point, there has to be a little balance of and you know, balance and trade here. But my whole thing is, healthcare to me is a private and sacred and intimate decisions that should not be at the hands of political people who don't know you, or people that you vote for. And people with heart disease, people with asthma, people with mental illness, people with fibromyalgia, people with chronic dementia situations, with eye problems, do they really need to be worried every single election year as to whether or not we have to cross our fingers and go, what did this candidate say about health care? Oh, whew, okay, he's good, he's all right. nobody should be going through that. And the, every single one of these illnesses that we have spoken about over the last 3 weeks come with a stress factor. With a risk of stress being a factor to it getting worse. And if this is health coverage for a healthy America, how is America getting healthy? There are things that are out there that I don't feel is in the hands of a government. No government should tell you that you can't have sex or have children, or you can go have sex without your parents' permission, or you can go do X, Y, Z. Nobody should be able to tell you that. Because the things that come from it eventually will not be something that the government will address personally with your child. Okay, we have to go to a mini sponsor break, and we will be back to finish up the discussion in just a minute. So don't go away, everyone.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law. 877-90-FOOTE or klfoot.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. And for those of you just joining us tonight, we are speaking on the Heart Disease Gauntlet. This is our Wellness Wednesday, and we are speaking on heart disease. And I call it a gauntlet because it is a very big maze of different types of conditions dealing with the heart, which also deals with, you know, existentially it deals with lung disease as well, since they're both pretty much created. But connected, my bad. I'm trying to adjust my mic here. We are talking on the effects of the illness, the effect of society's ignorance about your illness, as well as the effects of government health care cuts, as I will be doing each and every week that we speak on the different illnesses. Too much is going on with regards to too much is coming up with regards to what's being cut or being intended to be cut from healthcare coverage, which will affect in the treatments of these illnesses, which would affect the treatment of some things that affect society on a whole, even if it is to an individual. And these are things that I feel what makes the illnesses and the effects physically, mentally, and otherwise of the illness we suffer with much worse. dealing with ignorant people around you who don't understand your illness and don't have the decency to either ask about it so they can understand it, or not say anything that doesn't make a situation worse, or simply avoid dealing with you if they feel like they can't deal with you to a level of comfort or a level of respect. And these are things that make whatever you're going through much worse. So for those of you who don't understand, almost every single part of a heart condition, any type that you have, comes with shortness of breath upon activity or even lying down. There are people who wake up screaming in the middle of the night because they can't breathe just from sleeping. I've been through that, and that's not a good feeling. When you're in pain, arm, when you have to worry about if this knocking in my chest is actually an oncoming of an attack, when now you have to read every little thing, you can't enjoy certain things because it might spike up another number to make that number go to that number and mess up your heart or do something. It's not easy to deal with something that's so restrictive. We can't drink the average healthy 8 glasses a day of water because congestive heart failure is already having too much water in a certain spot and not allowing for your heart to pump properly and circulate blood correctly. The next step, fatigue. So for those of you who think that, you know, people with heart disease are just being lazy, no, it literally drains you. Fatigue. You always feel like even standing up to put your cup back on a saucer and sit back down, it feels like you just ran a marathon. Sitting in the sun, sitting in the cold, standing in weather, you have to deal with that because, yes, your body reacts to low barometric pressures. So you're in pain a lot more. Things are happening beyond your understanding, but they're happening. So if a lot of times the patient themselves don't understand where this is coming from, why would you think you could? Google, Wikipedia, eMedicine, WebMD, all these people, they give you some great places to start, but that's just textbook data. It's not really giving you the fill-in of that sketch that you're reading. They don't tell you the real pain you're going to go through with some of these procedures that they claim are simple procedures, and they're not really invasive, and you might feel a little pinch here and there. Those are not just little pinches you feel, because when you're actually going through them, you're feeling the worst pain of your life. When you say little pinch, you're expecting like a little pin, needle prick, or whatever the case is. No, that is not what you get when they actually have you tied down on a table and your authorization and consent. Then dealing with the fact, political error we're dealing with, it comes a point where you might be on the chopping block. You might be on the chopping block this time. Your health condition might be the next target on the table. The medicine you count on and need so badly might no longer be available to be covered by your insurance. And I feel like that is something that we should never have as a negotiating chip. Healthcare affects everyone. Okay, those of you that are asking, the number here is 347-327-9967. If you want to speak to me, you got to press 1 so that I can be alerted on the calling panel. And I really would love to hear those of you suffering with any type of heart condition or any kind of pulmonary condition that's related to your heart condition. Call in so that listeners out there who don't know or who are dealing as a third-party loved one or interaction with someone else can understand really what you're going through and really understand that we're people trying to deal with something that at many times is baffling to us. And if we don't know when it's going to strike or what it could be, and you're trying everything in your power to follow all your doctor's directions and you're cutting out things that you've loved for many years and you're doing, I switched to decaf coffee, ladies and gentlemen, Those of you who know me personally and those of you who have come to know me through the show know that I don't deal with anything light at all. I don't deal with light this or light milk or light this. I don't believe in none of that stuff. But I switched to decaf coffee because I was reading up on it and being responsible to my own treatment. Caffeine aggravates the heart. So if you have a faulty heart, something that aggravates a natural heart, and a healthy heart is not going to help an unhealthy heart. So that's one of the little things I can do for myself, is to follow that. Because guess what? I found a coffee that the caffeine doesn't actually affect the taste. So I can enjoy a decaf coffee. I also made a couple of extra steps now where instead of putting 3 sugars in my coffee, I just deal with a little bit of a flavored creamer, and that's my sweetener for it. So that takes off a little bit extra because now it's less sugar going in. It's a little less quantity of something else, and I'm just dealing with that, and I can still enjoy my coffee. Started looking up some other things. I like the fizz of soda, but I can't deal with the sugar of soda. So I found a way to find sparkling drinks, sparkling water with a little flavor in it, seltzer water with that cadone fruit juice too. Make it a little more natural and just as refreshing. I started learning to do some smoothies I actually like and nothing that comes tastes like it came out of, you know, one of those chalk cardboard tasting diet regimens. I started understanding how to enjoy cooking and making my own types of salad, and instead of using some processed salad dressing out there, I just made my own grilled chicken and used the natural juices from the chicken as my salad dressing. Worked out pretty good. Because I don't cook with oil, everything that came out was natural meat. I started learning alternative salt seasoning so that I don't actually have to use direct salt. And no one knew I never used salt. So there was ways to work around it. If you're not a culinary perfect person, then find someone who can and figure out a way to learn some things for yourself. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to enjoy what you do. Matter of fact, some of the fun in the kitchen is actually failing and learning again. But these are things that we can do for ourselves to keep ourselves a little less stressed out because we have to deal with this political thing every day. Because they really don't understand that the things that they don't see or the things that we're able to deal with that aren't right in your face as a convulsive seizure are really not to be dismissed. They're really very important things, and they should not be overlooked, dismissed, unaddressed, closed off, not treated. And then for those of us that have the severe heart conditions going on that actually affect us, we have to deal with the fact that there's a whole big proving process to get disability for your disability. And that becomes another stress factor, which is also another issue with the government. I've worked for many years, and I can't get disability back because in their amount of time, it's not enough credits just yet to qualify for that. So let's try this one. Like, where do you get off to say that my 22 years of working isn't good enough or I didn't pay enough taxes compensated for the time that I'm now unable to work? So I've seen many people deal with that problem and how much stress that puts on them. Okay, apparently a lot of people are getting some issues with connection. So if you guys are calling in, make sure you press 1 to be connected. Okay, I don't know if you're not doing it correctly or something, but if you are calling in, you have to press 1. Otherwise, I will not know that you're not just listening. You actually want to speak. And we are going to be winding down just a little bit anyway. So we those of you that want to talk, please call in and press 1. Once again, let's recap on this. Here is what happens with heart disease. Your pumping, your main pumping chamber. You are not able to release fluids properly. You are not able to get your blood circulated properly. You are not able to have a heart that's pumping at its full capacity. For dilated cardiomyopathy, which, as I explained to you, was one of my conditions, your heart gets enlarged. Your muscle, your flapping muscle, gets thinner and stretches weaker. You do not pump blood out, so it collects in your lungs, which causes shortness of breath, which causes fatigue, which causes lightheadedness, fainting, swelling, because when your left workhorse is going down in the heart, the right workhorse is starting to follow suit. And guess what? That's the part that deals with collecting water in your feet, which eventually swells up your legs, which is why your doctor's always asking you, let me see your legs and see how much swelling do you have. Is there any swelling in your legs? Which I was learning as I've been a cardiology patient. So these are things that you need to understand is not comfortable for the patient either. And if they're still trying their best to work in an environment and work and go to work and be a part of society and do what they can until they can't anymore, but they're being told that, you know, you're not living up to what we need here at the office. But then the government is saying, well, we think you can go a little further. There's a stress factor, and more things happen. So the stress that you think you're dealing with by looking at them, by dealing with them, by watching the uncomfortable way they have to wear a pacemaker wire, or the uncomfortable way they have to keep taking pills every so often, or checking their blood pressure, if you think that's annoying to you, imagine what they're feeling like, and this is what their life has to be. Because some people, if they don't take that reading, their life depends on it. We're trying to quell the ignorance. We're trying to eliminate the ignorance and bring some awareness so that you as a person, as a loved one, as a caretaker, who is not medically licensed but just a familial caretaker, cannot be aggravated and can know how to say, is this what you're going through? Is that how it feels? I can't imagine. Tell me what you need me to do. And it will be a lot less stressful on both the patient and you. And you might be able to do something that can help go a little further. And then maybe that person can have the right to say, don't mess with my health care. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people up there in big circle land that's out there making decisions for us folk. And determining who's a better, more worthy class of people to cover for health care. So, guys, we got to cut this show down tonight to a little shorter than normal. And there's a bit of a storm trying to come in through here, and I don't want to cut anybody short that's listening in. But I do want to pray and hope that all of you those of you who don't know are taking something in that's new. So when you're going home and you're dealing with someone that has this horrible, debilitating situation going on with them, they may look fine on the outside, but a lot's going on in their body that's not fine. And not only that, there's many things, if they're being quiet, that they're dealing with because they don't want to be a burden. And we don't want to have to say that we need help to do something basic that we could have done, you know, just a month ago with our eyes closed. And we don't want to deal with the fact that there are things coming on that we're going to have to accept and face, but we don't want to. We're going through our own personal private conflicts every single day with these conditions. We've got doctors that go back and forth from what treatment is best, but no, not that. No, it's not as serious as you're saying, but yes, it is. But wait a minute, don't do this, but yes, do this. You need to do that, but you can't really do this. You're supposed to walk this way, but you can't really do that. So it's really hard to deal with that because all of these people are the experts, right? But they can't even agree on some things themselves. Then you have people around that don't understand anything. But have you ever got those people, those of you who know what I'm talking about, you guys are probably will laugh it off or do whatever. Most of you know those people who think that they're experts because they've Googled some situation. They learned a big term, and they actually broke that down and got the definition of what that medical term means, and now they're experts. So they're telling you what you need to do, even though you actually are dealing with the experts who's telling you every day what to do. You got to deal with that too. But, you know, at the same token, let's try to understand that this is a lot to deal with. It's not just the condition. That condition also has exponential connections that is all involved. It's about the heart, but your lungs are affected. It's about the lungs, but your blood pressure is affected. It's about the blood pressure, but you can't breathe. Guess what? You might have a brain problem. Guess what? It might go to this. You're dealing with this stuff every single day. Heart disease isn't funny. And it is dangerous and it is critical. And you have to watch every little thing you do all the time. You have to watch the way you sleep. You have to watch the way you don't elevate your legs. You have to make sure you don't have a lot of swelling. You have to watch every little thing that changes in your body just in case it may be related to something that your heart should be doing but is not. So try to understand, those of you who are not sufferers of this illness and have to interact or care for someone who has it, to try to understand the disease and try to understand the illness before pass a judgment or make a comment out of your feeling. So I thank you all for being here today. Like I said, we're cutting down this a little about 15 minutes early. So I want to thank all of you for being here this evening. And until Friday night, everyone, where we'll be discussing something totally different at 9:30 p.m. Be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and I hope to see you here on Friday night at 9:30. Good night, and God bless everyone.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.